Amen. Thank you, Isaac. Thank you for leading our worship. Thank you for worshiping with us today here at Grace Point. We're glad you're here. Those in person and also online, thank you for worshiping with us here at Grace Point Church. We're starting off 2021 with a new series called Fresh Start. I'm going to get to that in just a moment and talk with you about different areas in our lives that we're going to look at over these next few weeks and pray that God would give us a fresh start. In addition, you have your areas, I'm sure, where you're praying about getting a fresh start. And so I hope that what we talk about today and these next few weeks can also encourage you to go along with maybe some of the things you're praying for in terms of a fresh start. Before we get there, though, let me mention a couple of things. First of all, our Grace Point groups start back up again this Wednesday. So we have Wednesday night groups, and then we have Sunday morning groups, and I think there might be one or two that meet other times during the week. So if you would like more information about that, maybe you're uncertain, but you want more information about what those groups look like, these cards, I think on the way in, you got them. You also get them on the way out if you didn't get one on the way in. Let me encourage you to pick one of these up, and you can scan this right on the front, and then when you do with your phone, it pulls up all of the classes that we'll be having this semester. You can also go to our, if you're watching online, you can go to our Grace Point Facebook page, and you have this and all the information about our classes coming up starting Wednesday night. Grace Point groups start, and then again next Sunday, the Sunday groups start. So if you'd like more information, let me encourage you to do that. Just pick up one of these cards, and you'll have all the information you need, all the different groups, 20-plus groups that will start meeting between Wednesdays and Sundays, and then some other nights of the week and afternoon. I know some meet at different times on Wednesday or Sunday. So that's coming up. Thankful for Jeff Neal, our discipleship pastor, put that all together, and it's kind of leading the charge. He's leading the charge in that. So I hope you'll just think about that, maybe pray about getting involved in a group. It's a great way to get connected here at Grace Point Church. So we think about 2021 and think about 2020 and what's behind us and what is before us. And as I was doing that, I always like to begin January with a fresh start focus. The series might be named something different, but the idea is it's kind of new beginnings, fresh starts, and second chances. I brought a couple things to show you when we think about fresh starts. First of all, I know it's hard for you to see, but this is one of my calendars from last year. And you can see all the writing on that and all the X's and all. It just looks beat up and worn out, right? It's kind of how we feel about 2020, right? So then we think about fresh start and look at my calendar right now look how beautiful that looks. I mean, it's clean. There's nothing on there. It's that idea of it's a fresh start. It's a new beginning, new opportunities that we have as we start into 20 and 21. Somebody sent me this next one, and I wanted to share it with you. Nobody claimed 2021 is your year. We're all going to walk in real slow, be good, be quiet, don't touch anything. I think just the opposite. I think we're going to knock down the door at Grace Point Church. No real quiet or anything like that, right? We're believing this is going to be a huge year, and I'm going to talk about that in a couple weeks when we talk about a fresh start with our church and make it a commitment to Grace Point Church. But we're looking, I think it's going to be a great year. I know, I recognize as we start off these first few months, certainly we still have some challenges ahead of us, and we're praying through that as we need to as a country, as we continue to push forward and the vaccine and all that's involved with that. But we're still believing God's, you know, doing and will do great things and still working right now. Did through 2020, and we'll continue to do that even now. So someone also sent me this. I want to share it with you. It's just, it's a top 10 things from 2020. Maybe you can relate to some of these. Number one, the craziest thing I ever bought was a 2020 planner. Number two, I was so bored during the lockdown, I called Jake from State Farm just to talk to someone. Number three, 2019, stay away from negative people. 2020, stay away from positive people. So that they tested for COVID and they were positive. You're supposed to stay. Okay. I just thought it was the first service, but I maybe need to throw that one out for the third service. Okay. Number four, the world is turned upside down. Older folks are sneaking out of the house and their kids are yelling at them to stay indoors. Number five, this morning I saw a neighbor talking to her dog. It was obvious she thought her dog understood her. I came into my house and told my cat. We laughed a lot. That's funny. That's funny. Number six, every few days, try your jeans on just to make sure they fit. Pajamas will have you believe all is well in the kingdom. Man. Number seven, does anyone know if we can take showers yet or should we just keep washing our hands? Number eight, the virus has done what no woman has been able to do. Cancel sports, shut down bars, and keep men at home. Number nine, yeah, you know, we all know, I need to practice social distancing from the refrigerator. Ha, ha, ha. And number 10, I never thought the comment, I wouldn't touch him with a 6-foot pole, would become a national policy. But here we are. So we think about 2020, and at the end, I'll kind of wrap things up, kind of reflecting just a little bit on that. Because I would say certainly there are things like, whew, let's get that thing over with. A lot of hurt, a lot of struggle, a lot of loss. And people are still, you know. But I would say also in the midst of that, I think there are some things we want to remember in 2020. And I'll talk about that as I close out here in just a little bit. So today and these next few weeks, I want to talk to you about a fresh start in some different areas, as I mentioned, that we can pray about a fresh start. And then February 7th, so the first Sunday in February, we'll go back to Colossians and start walking through that verse by verse. But the month of January, these Sundays, I want to talk to you about a fresh start and what that looks like. And let me say this as I begin. When we think about fresh start, we think about new year. A lot of times we do kind of self-reflection, right? And I think that's part of it, self-examination, kind of looking to my own life. Where do I need a fresh start? What are some things that I need to change? But here's where a lot of people, I think, miss. And that is we look inward, but we kind of stop with introspection. We look inward at things that need to change, but we never move from introspection to God. We don't look Godward. We don't look to the gospel. We don't look to Christ. We don't look for him to transform us. So what we do is we look inward. Here are the things I need to change, kind of like New Year's resolutions. Here are the things I want to change, and it's all about me. So it stays with introspection. There's never this idea of God transforming us and changing us, because let's recognize on the front end, we talk about change, we talk about fresh starts, we talk about new beginnings. None of it will be lasting if we do it in our own strength. Where's that? Might last for a short time. But we talk about fresh starts and new beginnings. We talk about areas in my life I know I need to work on, I need to change as I look introspectively. We don't want to stop there. So we go from introspection and self-reflection to Godward. And him, he is the one who then transforms us. So he's the only one that ultimately can change us. I think it's a mistake to think that we grow in the Christian life simply by introspection. Where have I sinned? Where have I fallen short? Now, certainly that is part of it. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we recognize this for change. But understand this, on the front end, a biblical approach to transformation is not fundamentally introspective and self-focused, but it is Christ-centered and gospel-focused. So we don't stop just at the introspection, these areas that I need to change. And I think a lot of times we're self-reflective to a fault. It kind of beats us up, and we kind of have this guilt, and we kind of just are left there, and I need to try harder. But we talk about fresh starts and new beginnings and transformation. That's something that we see that. It's introspectively, but God ultimately is the one who brings lasting change and lasting transformation. Charles Spurgeon said about this, that trying to make spiritual progress through excessive introspection is like a store owner who closes his shop because he's worried he's not selling enough. The store owner goes into the back room and spends all of his time taking inventory of things he hasn't sold. That's all introspection. Now, again, introspection is good. Introspection is needed. We do some of that today even. But then I'm going to turn us right towards the gospel. I'm going to be Christ-centered, because he's the one ultimately that's going to transform us. As we start, let me give you four truths. Now, a lot of things I'm going to share today are not on that outline, because there's not enough room on that outline. So if you're a big note taker, You can turn it over. Most of them are going to be on the screen, but not everything, because there's just a lot to share with you today. So like these four truths, just to start off, just to remind you as we begin. Fresh start, new beginnings, new year. Let me remind you of four fundamental truths. Number one, God is for you. Amen? God is for you, not against you. Romans 8 tells us that. That God is for us and not against us. So remember, and let Satan tell you otherwise, God is for you. Number two, God is with you. Psalm 139 talks about that. The presence of God. So we need to practice the presence of God, the recognition. God is for you. Number two, God is with you. Number three, here's a big one. Fresh start, second chance, and new beginnings. God forgives you. Amen? 1 John 1:9. That's a fresh start. That's a new beginning. God forgives you. And then the last one, the fourth one, for us to remember as we think about fresh starts, new beginnings, second chances in this year, 2021, is to remember that God always wants the best for you. And His plan for you for 2021 is far greater than anything we can draw up. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't plan. I think we should plan. As a church, we need to plan. But we hold that loosely because God may have something different in store. Jeremiah 29 talks about the goodness of God to us and His plan that He has for us when we think about this new year. So we're going to look in our own hearts. I think we do that, and we all need to do that, and there needs to be introspection. But then we don't stop there. We look to the gospel. We look to Jesus to transform us, to grow us, to convict us, to ultimately to change us. And the good news, it's not too late for a fresh start. I want to go to Isaiah chapter 43. I'm going to use Isaiah chapter 43 and Isaiah chapter 6 today. And this is kind of a springboard for this series that I want to share with you here in the month of January. So Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I think God made a way in the wilderness of 2020. I think He made a way in the desert. Sometimes we forget, and oh, we didn't perceive it. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So God says, I see the new. I know how to get you there. And I will take you there. I'm doing a new thing. And I think He wants to do that in your life and in my life. Spiritually, fresh start, new beginning, as we think of 2021. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. I want to read these verses, and then we're going to go back and talk about this fresh start, specifically with our attitudes, as we're going to start there. And then over these next few weeks, pull some other things from this. So Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. Here's what it says. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. And above Him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two He covered His face, and with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And we'll talk about all this in the weeks to come. And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of Him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, so this is Isaiah, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Verse 6, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken from tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. That's fresh start, new beginning, second chances right there. And your sin atoned for. And verse 8, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then I said, here I am. Send me. So where do you need a fresh start in your life? I'm going to mention a few areas, but maybe there's something else. Would you think just to yourself, where is it that you need a fresh start in your life? So I'm going to take some different areas over these next few weeks and just talk about a fresh start in these areas. Maybe you can relate to some of these. Maybe yours are a little different. I think we can all benefit, I think, from them as we think about fresh starts and new beginnings. So today I want to talk to you about a fresh start with my attitude. And I'll show you that your attitude just impacts so much in your life. So fresh start with my attitude. Next week I want to talk to you about a fresh start with my words. Week after that, a fresh start with my church. And then the week after that, it'll be 2 weeks of fresh start with my faith. Here's more specifically what it's going to look like. Today we're going to talk about I'll be more careful with my attitude. Next week I'll be responsible with my words. The third week I will be committed to my church. And the last 2 weeks I will be bold in my faith, and I will choose faith over fear. A fresh start in all those areas. We'll take them one at a time. Today we're talking about our attitude. A fresh start with our attitude. So if you're taking notes on your outline there, takeaway number one is this. I'm going to choose to be careful with my attitude, because my attitude, your attitude affects everything you are doing. Let me give you a definition of attitude. Attitude is a settled way, and that's important, a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. Your attitude. A settled way, so it's here, of thinking or feeling about someone or something. Typically, one that is reflected in a person's behavior. All right, so the idea then is my attitude, the attitude I have, is going to impact the choices I make. The attitude I have is going to impact the way I behave and how I respond to a person. The attitude I have towards them or my job or a circumstance, a number of different things across the board. So our attitude is extremely important. I think it was Chuck Swindoll who said in a book he wrote, former pastor, just a great man the Lord has used in many ways. Chuck Swindoll said, the single most important decision you make every single day is the attitude that you choose. It affects every part of us, our attitude. And so we want to be careful, that's the takeaway, with our attitude. Now, I'm going to show you today, and I've prayed through this, I'm going to continue to pray, because it's not one sermon, but instead of like 1, 2, 3... 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I am going to give you some takeaways, but I want it all to kind of spring from this understanding of the sovereignty of God. So what I'm going to show you is that I truly believe, based on what the scriptures teach, is when we grab a hold of the doctrine of the sovereignty of God, as I'm going to show you in Isaiah chapter 6, it can radically impact our attitude towards any situation. That's where we're going with this today. All right, so deeper waters for sure. Something I know God can do is he takes his word. He's going to just press in on us today. So takeaway number one, I will be careful with my attitude. So I go back to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Listen to this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. So Isaiah speaking, I saw the Lord, had this vision of God, sitting upon a throne, that's going to be key, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. So Isaiah has this vision from God. Now, stay with me on this part. That first part of the scriptures, in the year that King Uzziah died, very foundational, very, very important. And here's why. So King Uzziah of Judah had a long and very distinguished reign. It's described in 2 Chronicles 26 and 2 Kings 15. I won't take time to turn there. But when Uzziah began his reign, he was only 16 years old. He reigned for 52 years. And he would be known as a good king. He was a good king. As a matter of fact, 2 Kings 15:3 says, talking about Uzziah, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. So he was a good king. 52 years. He led many military victories over the Philistines and these other neighboring nations. He was a strong king. He was a planner. He was a builder. He was a general. So seen as good king. But then his life ended tragically. In 2 Chronicles 26:16, it's not on the screen, but let me just read it to you. It says this, but when he was strong, talking about Uzziah, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God. So he sinned against God, and then the response to that was that he was struck with leprosy, and he was an isolated leper until Isaiah 6, he died. So to say in the year King Uzziah died is to say a lot. It's to say, I think, for Isaiah, I think, in the year a great and wise king died. In the year a great and wise king died who had a tragic end to his life. How did this happen? Why did this happen? What is God doing here? And so I would argue that there was some disillusionment on the part of Isaiah. I think there was some discouragement because he saw this great king who had died this way. His life ended tragically. And so it brought some discouragement and some disillusionment. Then I think God's response to Isaiah is Isaiah 6:1, where he gives Isaiah this vision of him, which leads us to takeaway number two. And this is the vision that he had. If you're taking notes, regardless of what happens in this world or in your life, God is still on his throne. Regardless of what happens, you may be disillusioned, you may be discouraged, you may be disappointed, just like I think Isaiah was. But regardless of all that, the message he gives to Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord seated upon a throne high and lifted up. Here's what he's saying. He's saying to Isaiah, listen, King Uzziah is no longer on the throne. That may discourage you, disillusion you. He is done. But understand this. I am still on the throne. I am still in control. And all that has happened is under, and this is where we're going in just a minute, under the sovereignty and reign of God. And so that's the message he's giving to Isaiah. The one thing he wants him to get. That's why. So the discouragement, the disillusionment, the introspection, but then what happens? The vision of God moves him from that. See, the problem is we get so self-reflective and introspective with our bad attitudes. And it just kind of stops there. And it just kind of, it festers, grows, and it gets more worse and worse. What I'm talking to you about today is we're moving from that introspection. We're moving from that just like right here, vision of God. We're moving to him. That's how as we're going to see, the change happens. You see, as I read through it, we're going to talk about it in the weeks ahead. What does he say, man? Basically, I'm a sinner, man. I'm not worthy. So we went from introspection to this vision of God on his throne. God still enthroned in heaven, still in charge of all creation. There is a throne in heaven. The Bible speaks of that. It's an occupied throne. Sovereign kings sit on thrones. Judges sit on thrones. Those with proper authority and sovereignty sit on thrones. And Isaiah said, I see the Lord seated. So he's talking about his position of sovereignty and the message that while you're disillusioned and discouraged and struggling, not to minimize that, I'm still in control of all this. And you're going to see in just a minute that even all these things, God is infinitely wisdom, in his infinite wisdom, he's purposed. Which when we grab a hold of that, in just a minute I'll get there, but that begins to impact the way we're going to see things with our attitude. So Isaiah sees him seated on this throne. He wasn't the only one. There are many scripture passages. Job saw God's throne, Job 26:9. David saw God's throne, Psalm 9:4. Jeremiah saw God's throne, Lamentations chapter 5. Ezekiel saw God on his throne, Ezekiel chapter 1. Daniel saw God's throne, Daniel 7. The Apostle John saw God's throne, Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. In fact, the book of Revelation, specifically the throne of God, is mentioned more than 35 times in that book. So God, Isaiah saw, it's good for us to see, it's good for us to remember God. Sovereignty, still on his throne, still in control. The bottom line of atheism or materialism is, for the most part, they believe there is no throne. There is no seat of authority or power all the universe must answer to. Humanism says there's a throne, but man sits on the throne. That's what humanism says. But the Bible makes it clear there's a throne in heaven and no fallen man sits on the throne, but the Lord God is enthroned in heaven. It's the doctrine, the truth of the sovereignty of God. And so again, while he may have been discouraged or depressed or struggling with the circumstances around him that could have impacted his heart, his attitude, his mindset, like things around us do, small things to big things, the message God is sending him is, I'm still on my throne. I'm still in control. I've defined it for you. This is a definition I've taken from John Piper, who's a great theologian there. If you're taking notes, when he says sovereign, it says this. Sovereignty is saying that God is powerful and authoritative to the extent of being able to override all other powers and authorities. Sovereignty of God. A sovereign God. God is powerful and authoritative to the extent of being able to override all other powers and authorities. Job chapter 42, verse 2 says, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Now, I'm going to give you two statements about the sovereignty of God, and I'm praying that you see in this how this then begins to impact the way we see things, how this then can impact my attitude towards the things that are causing me discouragement, disillusionment, the things that are negatively impacting my attitude. So number one, first of all, when we talk about the sovereignty of God, this is on your outline. The sovereignty of God is governed by his wisdom. That's the first thing. When we talk about the sovereignty of God, it is governed by his, not yours, not how you see it going down, but by his wisdom. Romans chapter 11 says, oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how unscrutable his ways. So everything that is unsearchable, unknown to us, is governed by the deepest divine wisdom of God. Now, here's what I want you to get. God never does anything or allows anything that is meaningless or random without an infinitely wise purpose. He doesn't do anything without an infinitely wise purpose. He doesn't just randomly or meaningless do things. I think that's huge. It's big for us to understand that even the things that come into my life, so all the things that come into my life, and especially the things that my upset me, disillusion me, discourage me, attack my attitude or give me a bad attitude. All of these things, according to the sovereignty of God, the scriptures say, God has an infinitely wise purpose in them. So instead of me getting a bad attitude about them, that when I start to see that perspective, which springs from the scene of sovereignty of God, like Isaiah was talking about, that God does nothing meaningless or random. There's an infinitely wise purpose in these things that are causing me to have a bad attitude or discourage me or cause me disillusionment. God took Isaiah to his throne to see him still sovereign. Still in control. So the sovereignty of God is governed by his wisdom. Again, not my wisdom or your wisdom, but the wisdom of God, which I then ultimately have to trust the wisdom of God in that situation. Number two, the second thing about his sovereignty is it's governed by his justice and his mercy. The sovereignty of God is governed by his justice and his mercy. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18 says, "For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him." So all that he does is righteous and is just. The ultimate aim is that he be glorified for his mercy and his grace. We've talked about this before. His sovereignty is governed by his wisdom. His sovereignty is governed by his justice and his mercy. So therefore, that impacts the way we see things. It should. That impacts, can impact our attitude. And our attitude then affects everything. My attitude of the day will impact and affect the way I speak to my children. My attitude for the day will impact the way I speak to my wife, the way I interact with staff when I come to work here at Grace Point, the way that I talk to you. So therefore, it's so crucial that we understand and we are careful with our attitude and we understand it with the sovereignty of God fully in full view, that whatever it is that's challenging that attitude, that God governs by his wisdom. So therefore, nothing is random. There's infinite purpose in it, which leads me to takeaway number three. If indeed this is true, which I believe it is, then it leads me to takeaway number three. Then I must, and now we go from kind of introspection to now we're continuing to move from the sovereignty of God now to practical of how we kind of apply this. Number three, takeaway number three is this. Then the right attitude is to ask the right question, which is, what does God have for me to learn in this situation? The situation that has caused me to have a bad attitude and I need a fresh start. What is it that God has for me to learn in this situation? Now, I want to say this before I forget. All of this that I'm talking about today and over these next few weeks, I'm not saying this is not done in our own strength, right? We are depending on the power of God to transform us to do this, because asking that question is not an easy question to ask, especially if you've been hurt by somebody or it's somebody who you're in a relationship with it, you have a bad attitude towards them, and you want a fresh start. So we have to ask ourselves, not like, I wish you need to straighten them out. I'm gonna introspective my struggle, my attitude is not good, and now I'm gonna move from introspection to what? I'm gonna move Godward, which is through the scriptures right here, Philippians 2. That's where I'm taking you right now. So this is the spirit of humility. And you're going to see in Philippians 2, the mind that you're supposed to have. And you're going to see that from the mind flows action, attitude. Because we defined already, we understand that our behavior flows from the attitude we have. So therefore, we have to be careful. Be careful with your attitude. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, listen to this. He's going to talk about a lot of action things that we're supposed to do. And then kind of right in the middle of it, he's going to talk about the mind that we have that those actions flow from. So he says in Philippians 2, talking about Jesus in just a minute in verse 5, but he starts out by saying, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility. So that's a key word right there. That's how we need to come to the Word, how we come to God, how we come to this issue with our attitude, ready to learn. But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest. So he's not saying, hey, don't worry about yourself. He's saying, look to your own interest. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, which is saying you can, but also to the interests of others. Now, here's how you're going to do all this. Okay, here's how you're going to do these things. You have to have the right attitude. Right? Verse 5, have this mind among yourselves. There's the attitude part. Here's the attitude I need to have. It starts with humility, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So he's basically saying, have that the mind of Christ, the attitude of Christ-likeness. Okay, so there, the introspection, my attitude, and I go gospel-centered. Who, though he was the form of man, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Servant. Being born in the likeness of men. So action, serving, follows what? A mind that is right. And a mind that is humble. So it starts with our attitude, and then from our attitude flows actions. I can do all these things because of why? Because I know that God reigns, God is on his throne, and everything that he has before me, he is infinitely wise and has purposed in my life. I think even the small things. Takeaway number four. Takeaway number four is this, the next question. So what does God have for me to learn in this situation? And then takeaway number four, having the right attitude, asking the right questions, how can I honor God in this situation? How can I honor God? You see how that's an attitude adjuster, man, right there. That's going to impact your attitude. How can I honor God? What does he want me to learn from this? And then how can I honor God in this situation? That goes right to your attitude. Psalm 86, 12, I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart. I will glorify your name forever. So as we talked about before, everything we're doing with our attitude too, that we are to honor God with my attitude, which will lead to my behavior in every situation. How can I honor God in this situation? And then takeaway number five. I've just kind of summarized. There were 3 points, but I don't have time, so I just put them all in one takeaway. Takeaway number five is we choose to hope for the best, look for the best, and believe the best. When we think about fresh starts and new beginnings, we hope for the best, we look for the best, we believe the best. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, these things I'm going to read are all fueled by hope. The last part of this verse, we remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all starts with hope. Hope for the best, look for the best, believe the best. So our adversary, I know for me and for you too, he wants us to get in this other lane where our attitude is negative, our attitude is fearful, maybe our attitude is critical, that it's not pleasing to God. It's not Philippians 2. And he wants us to run in that lane. And so if we're not careful, we start to default to that. And instead of hope for the best, look for the best, believe the best, here's what happens. We begin to exaggerate life's difficulties. It's not to minimize if you're truly struggling, but we begin to exaggerate life's difficulties. We ignore the good in life and others, and we imagine the worst possible outcomes will happen. That's what starts to happen when we are not careful with our attitude. We no longer hope for the best, look for the best, believe the best. Bury your head in the sand. I'm not saying that at all. I get it, you know. We've got to be realistic, but we have a choice here with our attitude. And my attitude is going to not just affect me, but it's going to affect everybody around me. Look, when my kids were little, even now, but we don't ever ride in the car together, but when my kids were little, all four of them, and Karen and I were in the car, if I had a bad attitude, let me tell you, everybody in the car knew it. And they just sat there like this. Because my attitude would just flow out over everybody, get on everybody. It's amazing, though. I learned, and the Lord showed me by his grace how I could give that to the Lord and submit to his authority, and he could transform me. It was a process. It was amazing how different than when my attitude was, and I was in good spirits and gracious and kind and loving, how that car was just totally different. And those kids were totally different. Their smiles and their talking and their... So it impacts not just you, but it impacts those around you. Fresh starts mean I'm going to be the person that hopes for the best, looks for the best, and believes the best. Not the person that ignores the good in life for others. Not the person who imagines the worst possible outcomes will happen. That all, I think foundationally, it all starts, Isaiah 6, as God pointed Isaiah to his sovereignty. that God is sovereign. All these things that are coming in against me, that are challenging my attitude and discouragement and causing me disillusionment, God wants me to turn and to remember that He's on the throne. And there's nothing that's come in that has been random or meaningless because of His wisdom in His sovereignty. So I want to finish just with this and just read this, a couple notes I wrote about 2020. So we think about 2020, we think about fresh starts with 2021, and when we think about 2020, I think most of us probably, we kind of want to forget it, and I totally understand that. I mean, I'm with you right there. I mean, it's just a hard year for everyone, and loss and hurt, no question about that. So we want to forget, but I also think that there's some things we should remember. I know I do. I think when I think of 2020 and when we do, I hope that we will all remember how much we need Jesus. Amen. 2020 reminded us. We need to remember that. To remember how much we need Jesus. I think many of you, maybe not all, depending on your life, place you're at in life, I guess. I think many will remember the time that you spent during that lockdown as a family. I've heard from many, and I remember many. You remember eating meals together, not having to run out the door. You'll remember family walks, playing games, playing basketball in the driveway with your kids, watching movies, and being home as a family. You'll remember that. Some good times. I know for me and maybe you, I'll remember and never forget how powerful hugs and handshakes really are. The reason I'll remember that in 2020 is because we weren't able to do it. Still not, but I'll never forget that lesson. I think we'll remember how much we need each other. I hope we do. How much we need the church and the fellowship. We'll remember that we were made for community, not to live in isolation. We need each other. 2020, we'll remember that. I'll remember that. I know for me personally, I'll remember the faithfulness of you. Grace Point Church, online, you here. Boy, through that time where it was just online only, you just kept sending prayers, encouragement, support. Keep preaching. Keep going. Don't stop. We need the church, man. You were amazing the way you gave, your faithfulness. I'll remember the faithfulness of you giving your tithes and offerings. You continue to give sacrificially. I'll never forget that. In a year when everybody could have just said no, you did not. You gave, and I am thankful. In addition to tithes and offerings, in a time where money's tight and times are hard, you continued to sacrifice, give tithes and offerings, but you also gave over $14,000 to Christmas Hope Ministry. Amen? That's a miracle, man. That is amazing. That is amazing. And countless families. 3-4 times the number of families helped last year will help this year. Middle of a pandemic. You just kept giving. I'll never forget that. I'll remember online-only services. Preaching to an empty worship center and a camera. I'll remember empty hallways and vacant parking lots. And in doing so, I'm reminded how much I need you in this church. I won't forget that. And I think and I hope and I pray that we will all remember the faithfulness of God, the provision of God, the grace of God, and in the midst of everything, that we can all declare that God is always good. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are good, that you've been faithful, God, to us here at Grace Point Church. You have been faithful. We are living in your goodness, Father. And we are so thankful for your faithfulness. I thank you for these people of Grace Point Church, those that are in this building today, those that are watching online. This is your church, God, and you have built and continue to build your church. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm praying today, Lord, that you, through your word and spirit, God, you will give us deeper clarity and revelation of understanding of what it means in greater ways. That you are sovereign. And how that flows over us in every way, God. How that gives us a spirit of calm and peace, and how that impacts our attitude toward life and towards people. So I pray you continue to teach us that now and in these days ahead, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your church and your faithfulness. So we continue to worship and we sing to you, Father. We're grateful. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.